Go ahead and open up to John chapter 8. The reason I have you turn to John chapter 8, we're going to look at the illustration for this message is the woman caught in adultery. And I'm going to go ahead and read the entire story without... The reason I don't do that a lot, it's so hard for me to read it and not preach or teach in it, you know. But it's good for us to get whole passages of the Word of God. It's food for your spirit. It builds you up. It makes you strong. People that say they, I don't understand people that don't enjoy the Word. I get lost in it. I mean, Dave used to talk about, and when he was in that time of worship, you know, he'd pour a nice hot cup of tea. And to him, it was just a moment later, and his tea was cold. But hours had gone by because he got lost in the presence of God. And that, boy, that's good, you know. That happens with me with the Word. Man, I'll really get in there, and it starts, it's like a movie or something. I get transported into it. And man, time will go by. Just amazing, but it's good for you. It is food for you. All right, so John chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Ooh, sat down and taught them. Hallelujah. I can see a recliner right here. Maybe that's too much. I don't know. I just never knew the underline is right here. Sat down. Okay. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, don't you find it interesting? See, here I am. Don't you find it interesting they didn't bring the man? Is it, you know, in adultery take two to tango? And I've read the law. I've read it. I know that the man is just, they're both equally guilty. They're both supposed to be stoned. But anyway. Plus, catching them in the very act sounds like a setup deal to me. But anyway. Verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, boy, here it is. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Now notice, go and sin no more. I did pretty good reading that, okay. To the woman caught in the act of adultery, Jesus said, go and sin no more. Now, you know, this is before the cross. This is before the resurrection. She is not born again. For years, it threw me up here where it said, each one of them, look at verse 9, and they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience. The words their own are not in the Greek. You see they're in italics? You need to mark them out because it's misleading. They didn't have a conscience. The only conscience they had was the artificial conscience of the law. They had an external conscience written in tables of stone. God gave it to Moses. They were convicted by conscience, but it's the artificial conscience of the law. Children, when they're born, have an artificial conscience Now, parents can't do this today. But see, in my day, my father was very familiar with the process of applying the board of understanding to the seat of learning. And he developed an artificial conscience in me. You know, when he says clean the room, clean my room, that means clean my room. There will be an inspection later. Over time, because of the board of understanding applied to the seat of learning, however, I developed an artificial conscience. And it's not that nothing in me wanted to clean my room. It wasn't coming from my nature. Teenage boys have the nature of a slob. I'm sorry. Most of them. Most of them. Not all of them. Some girls? I don't know. No. Okay. Anyway. So when it says convicted by conscience, you really do yourself a favor if you scratch through their own. That's not in the Greek anyway. Now, they were convicted by conscience, all right. When he says, those of you without sin, well, what are they doing? They're running their Rolodex. The Ten Commandments, what they've been taught externally. And notice, not one of them could say they were free. None of them came forward with a stone. Isn't that right? But he turns right around to her. Now, and the ones that left were the Pharisees and the scribes. These were the ones that all the people looked up to, that if anyone's walking holy, surely it's those guys. Yet when it comes down to it, throw the stone if you're without sin. And the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And not one of those was without sin. But to this woman caught in adultery, he doesn't condemn her. But he says to her, go and sin no more. Well, we think, she's not born again. She's not really able to stop sinning. Why in the world did Jesus say that to her? You got to remember, in Luke 16, we're told, from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is preached. When Jesus is preaching, he's prophetically preaching the kingdom of God. It won't really be available to them until he's raised from the dead. And they have access to that life that's already on the inside of him. But he's prophetically preaching it. So he says to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So, for teaching's sake today, do you notice verse 12? It does not say, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying. Sounds like this conversation's still going on. For teaching purposes today, allow me this. She probably didn't leave the room. Where did she feel safe? Scooched up pretty close to him. He's the one that didn't. Everybody else there wanted to stone her. And he's the one that says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. I bet you she did not leave the room. Now she's listening. Allow me this. Okay? So she's listening. The woman caught. Would you call living in adultery walking in darkness? I think I would. You know. So then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. But why won't they? Because they're going to have the light of life. And right now, if we had time, we'd go over to John, Big John, chapter 1. That the light was in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. But that light was the life of men. Jesus knows it. They don't know it. He knows if they will follow him. Let's focus on this adulterous woman. We're going to walk her all the way through the cross. What if she says, you know, I'm going to follow him. Everywhere he teaches, I'm going to go. Everywhere, I'm going to follow him. Because he said, if I'll follow him, the day will come that I will not walk in darkness. I'm going to have some kind of light that I don't have right now. See what he says? He shall have the light of life. At that moment when he said that, on planet Earth, he is the only candle lit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. But when Adam sinned, that candle went out. It was not light. God relit the world by lighting a single candle. And that's His Son, Jesus Christ. And at this moment, in a world, if you could see it from God's perspective, it's a whole world of dark candles. One burning. And it's Jesus. What He's prophetically saying, the light that is in me, if you will follow me, you're going to have that same light in you. See, He's the only one there that could have taken the stone to stoner. Because He's the only one there that was free from sin. But prophetically, He's saying, you're going to be as free from sin as I am. Because you're going to have the same light in you that I have. You're going to have the same life in you that I have. They don't know that yet. But He knows it. Now, in the same chapter, Lord, I hate to skip over all this, but I want to let you out before the 4th of July, which is Wednesday. Come on down to verse 31. He continues the thought. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. Now get this. And the truth shall make you free. What makes you free? The truth makes you free. Isn't that right? Go to Romans 2. While you're turning there, let me say this. That woman was not born again. Jesus is prophesying, basically, if you'll follow me, the same light I have in me, you'll have in you. When that happens, you'll know the truth. And that truth will make you free. Now, just for a moment, I am the way. I am the truth. No, I am the light, I am the way, and I am the truth, right? No man comes to the Father but by me. You shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. I am the truth. You're going to know the truth. I am the truth. The truth will make you free. Another place He says, whom the Son makes free. But the Son is the truth. Now with that thinking in mind, Romans 2:8. I'm going to have to go there myself because I only copied the... I can't preach out of without context anymore. Haven't for years. Romans 2:8. Romans 1:1. No, I can't. Romans 2, verse 1. We're headed for verse 8. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. And He's talking to the Pharisees, the same group of people that was going to condemn that woman, even though they themselves were committing sin. That not one of them could do it because they were as guilty as her. Isn't that true? And listen, that's the whole human race before Christ. And that's the whole human race now before Christ. See? You are inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judged another, you condemn yourself. For thou that judgest are doing the same things. They couldn't condemn her because they were doing sin. If you do, you know, what does the law say? If you violate the law in one point, you're guilty of all. So we'll say, well, I don't want to preach there. I'm trying to let you out before the 4th. But we are sure, now, boy, you better be sure of this. I'm telling you, the church world is not sure of this verse. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to what? It's according to truth. Against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and you're doing the same, that you're going to escape the judgment of God? Well, I'm a Pharisee. I'm a deacon. I'm an elder. I'm a uppity-up of whatever kindeth in whatever churcheth. You may have a collareth that goes backwardeth. Thou may callest thyself bishop. Thou may callest thyself anything. If you're sinning, you're in trouble. And you need to understand God's raising up clear voices in these last days that you better, if you know the truth, honey, it's time to walk in the truth. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? How many are thankful for the longsuffering of the Lord? Let's say it another way. How many are glad that the judgment gavel has not come down on you yet? See, I like that one where he that is merciful shall find mercy. Yes. Trust me, I'm a merciful guy. Okay, even as I'm preaching a hard message. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The reason that he's holding out his hand to you. I am convinced he had his hand held out to Hitler on his last breath. Jesus died for the sins of Hitler as much as he died for anybody else. The goodness and the long suffering of God. Holding out that salvation to the last breath. But now notice. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart. Treasure, impenitent means non-repentant. Still doing it. Treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his thoughts. Is that what your Bible says? Render to every man according to his good intentions. Is that what your Bible says? Every man according to his deeds. For you are what you do. Just comes right down to it. Not what you say. How did Dave say that? The plastic man that comes to church, God's not really dealing with plastic man. God's dealing with the guy you are at home. Or the lady you are at home. That's who he's dealing with. That always scares me. But anyway. Verse 7. Now, I'm trying to get to verse 8, okay? Now, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. Say, that's me. That's me. I'm in that camp. That's me. That's what I want. That's who I am. But unto them that are contentious, and here's the verse, and do not obey the truth. Remember that last week? He said, if you do not obey the truth, you will believe a lie. The lie that most Christians are believing is that they're not free from sin, when the truth of the matter is they already are. I'm talking about Gary as much as anybody else. All that those years that I continued smoking, which was just foolishness. I was free from day one. I didn't want to fight my flesh. Verse 8 again. But unto them that are contentious and do not... See, I'm going to read it the way most people. But unto them that are contentious and do not believe the truth. Well, sometimes that's a possibility. You could have a stronghold in you that was put in you by well-meaning preachers like I did. I grew up hearing from about the age of 4 or 5. Remember, I had a drug problem as a little boy. I got drugged to church Sunday morning. I got drugged to church Sunday night. I got drugged to church Wednesday night. And I heard from a little boy, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Which puts in you this thought, he's forgiven you. You're forgiven, but you are not changed. You're still a sinner. You still have the nature of a sinner. So they would preach, stop sinning. And then the next Sunday where you're just an old sinner. So how are you going to stop sinning if that's what you are? See? So you could have an unbelief there and not believe the truth. But see, you're not at that church. You're not at that church. Dave has been preaching. I've been going through the prophecies and the things from the 1989 on. And I'm telling you, early on, Dave was saying, the new nature is what sets you free. A lot earlier than I thought he was saying it. He was saying, if you're sinning, it's because you're choosing to sin. You're not over. Now, Paul said, you are not obeying the truth. So unto them that are contentious. Nathan used the example of Jezebel this morning. What did Jezebel do? She killed the prophets. She had to silence the voice of the prophets. The prophets were saying, you better repent. You better live right. You better offer that lamb. You better obey God. Isn't that the prophet? Jezebel didn't like that. Jezebel wants to be able to do whatever Jezebel wants. If she wants to fornicate, she's going to raise up her own prophets. She had, what is it, 400 prophets of Baal? Baal, however you say it, B-A-A-L. She raised up her own prophets and killed God's prophets. See, that spirit, anytime in the church where it's trying to silence the voice of the man of God or woman of God that says, you've been made free from sin, if they want to silence that voice, you just now identified Jezebel. That's Nathan 101. I heard that at 8:30. I told you it didn't leave me much to preach. That was good stuff. He's sitting back there going, yeah. Hallelujah. Contentious. And they do not obey the truth. Now, what did Jesus say? What did we read? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus says, I am the truth. You're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I'm trying to, I'm doing that for a reason. So you've got truth on the inside of you now. And it's a living truth. It's called the new nature. It's the nature of God. And it comes with a voice. It comes with a... Christ is preaching in you every day. And the first level of obeying over bowing the knee is obey the voice of that conscience. When it says don't do it, don't do it. And if you do it anyway, you're contentious and you're obeying not the truth. Well, what happens if I'm contentious and obey not the truth? Well, that means you're obeying unrighteousness. You see that verse 8? You're obeying unrighteousness. Well, what do I get? Indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. And here is that wonderful, wonderful passage. For not the hearers of the law are just before God. Now let's stop. These Pharisees, were they hearers of the law? Sure they were hearers of the law. They were ready to stone this lady because they knew the law. But were they doers of the law themselves? No, they were not. It's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. But see, now we come to Romans 7. Here's a guy, a good guy, who loved God, heard God's law, wanted to keep it. The way it's worded is so perfect. He says, with my mind, I acknowledge that your law is holy and good and perfect. And I'm going to keep it. That's it. New Year's resolution number 947. Well, no, not that old. Anyway, I'm going to keep it. And that good thing I was going to do, I don't wind up doing that. And that bad thing, I was never going to do that again. I wound up doing it again. I find another law working in my members. It's deeper than my willpower. It's deeper than my resolve. It's deeper than my human energy. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? And then we go into that glorious chapter. Romans chapter 8, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You could say the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. You could say you're going to have the light of life, which is truth and no lie. Amen. Let me finish this passage. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth... Oh, we're past that. Then verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Well, how can I be a doer? Well, even these Gentiles, born again Gentiles, which were never taught the law of Moses. They do not have that artificial conscience from the outside in. They weren't taught the law, but they do by nature. Oh, if you underline in your Bible, when they got born again, they got a new nature. And we could go to Hebrews right now and say, when I give you that nature, it's going to have my laws written. It's going to write my law in your mind and in your heart. No man will have to teach you externally. You're all going to know me from the least to the greatest. You're going to have it written in you. James said it this way, receive with meekness, teachability, that engrafted word. You know what engraved means? You have your wife's name engraved in metal on that watch you gave her or whatever, that bracelet. It's engraved, it's permanent, and that's what God did when you got born again. He engraved His law in you. Don't tell me you don't have it. If you don't have it, you're not saved. Now, you can sear that conscience, but I'm telling you right now, you can unsear it. And 1 John 1:9 is how you do it. You repent, you go to Him, you admit it, you confess it, cleanse me, wash me from all unrighteousness, and that conscience will be tender again. And the good news is, next time you hear it, which you'll hear it, if you obey it, you keep it pure and clean. You disobey it, you're starting the process all over again of searing that conscience. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. It's a perfect system. Perfect system. James in chapter 1, he uses different words, but it's exactly the same process. He says, look, every man is tempted. And there's nobody that's not tempted. In Galatians 5, Paul said, listen, your righteous spirit is at war with your fallen flesh. Your fallen flesh wants to do things that your righteous nature does not agree with. These two are contrary, the one to the other, and it's a constant war. He said the only way to win is to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Isn't that right? Well, how do you walk in the Spirit? That voice. It's the new nature He put in you. So let's go back to the woman caught in adultery. Now, she wasn't born again. She did not have that internal voice, but she had a conscience, all right. It was an external conscience from the law. She's raised under the law. She knows adultery is wrong, but she has not found the power within her to stop it. You know, not everybody committed adultery, but everybody sinned doing something. Isn't that right? So she hears Jesus. Allow me this. She hears Jesus. Everybody else in the room wanted to kill her. If you had one hero stand up on your side, wouldn't you stay close to him? Right, you and me, Jesus. You and me. They want to kill me. Anyway, you'd stay. And he says, if you'll follow me, you'll have the light of life. Wouldn't you follow him? Man, he couldn't do a meeting anywhere. He's walking on the water. I'm right behind him. Anyway, that's going too far. But well, you understand the point? Man, I would be in every meeting where the man was. And let's say that she was there. Excuse me. She was there the day that he was crucified. I've meditated on this a lot. Here is a woman who deserved to be stoned to death. I have a video of a woman who was stoned to death. I hope you never see it. It is not pretty. In my meditations, I see this same woman standing there at the cross and understanding. I see her standing there when he was whipped, not by the Jews, 29 stripes, but by the Romans, with that flagellum that had the little bits of bone and stone and whatever in it that would rip the flesh. And the skin on Jesus was hanging off like shirt sleeves on a shirt. It had to dawn on her somewhere. Or maybe she remembered the words of the prophet Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. And she says, I was supposed to be stoned. I was the guilty one. Now I know why he didn't condemn me. He took my condemnation upon Himself. The reason He let me go is He paid the price for my sin. That revelation had to come to her, and I would think that would draw her even closer to Him than before. But see, that if the gospel stops there, then we're forgiven sinners, but we're not changed. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, if you'll follow me, you yourself shall have the light of life. He didn't say this, but we know it because we have the rest of the Bible. He was saying, the light that I have in me that empowers me to walk free from sin, I'm going to make it possible for you to have that same light in you. So let's say she follows him. She goes, she watches the whole cross thing. Let's walk with me. She's at the tomb somehow at the resurrection. And let's say at some point she believes Jesus is raised from the dead. She bows her knee and asks her to forgive him, come into her heart, confesses with her mouth that Jesus is Lord. And on that glorious day, that woman, that same woman, she got born again. From that day forward, the Lord moves from the outside to the inside. The truth, she was talking with truth before. Now truth is in her. He was teaching before, go and sin no more. But now from the inside, go and sin no more. And I'm going to empower you not to do it. Because the life that was in me, I've now put it in you. The same life that raised me from the dead, you've got that same life in you. So this same woman who before had an external conscience, where the temptation, and I don't know why she was committing adultery, you know, let's just, I don't know, it doesn't matter why. But let's say after she's born again, how many of you know your old dogs will come back to hunt? Anyway, sorry, that's another message. You're a familiar dog, you know. Something your flesh has familiarity with. Anyway, temptation comes again. Now, always before, she had to resist temptation with an external conscience. But now, the temptation comes, and there's a voice she never had before. A voice from the inside. Saying, you're a child of God now. This is not, that's who you were. You were a slave to sin. That's who you were. You're a child of God. The Holy Spirit, even if she's not been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. Now later on when he comes, he'll bear witness with that. But she's got a voice from day one, whether she got baptized in the Holy Ghost or not. And there's a voice on the inside, that new man. It is true. See, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, how did he do that? He made you a child of God. He, the light that was in him, you have it in you. His father is now your father. You're not adultery trying to get free. You got free. That moment, you're free. You're a whole different creature. If any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature, and the best translation, a new species that never existed before. Well, not since the fall of Adam. Adam had that light, that life, but not since him. There's a new voice on the inside. Now, whether you walk in sin or not, from that point forward, because you are free. You are 100%, you'll never be more free than you are the day you got born again. Now it's not a matter of knowing the truth. Now it's a matter of obeying the truth. Let's look at some verses. I've got too many for you. Well, you can turn to these if you want to. Go to Romans 6. We'll look at several there. The one I'm really after is verse 12, but Romans 6 is just amazing. So to the woman that's been born again now, she used to be an adulteress, but now she's a child of God, born of God's Spirit. What do you say to her? Well, lady, are you going to continue in adultery now that you've been born again? Are you going to obey the truth? The truth on the inside of you is saying that's not who you are anymore. You don't have to sin. Are you going to obey that? Or are you going to commit adultery? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I could go on and on, but I'll never get all these verses if I do that. Come on down to verse 12, because this is where it is. You're either going to obey the truth or not obey the truth. Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Now notice that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So you're either going to obey the new nature or you're going to obey your body. That's Galatians 5. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These two are the contrary, the one to the other. Therefore, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But it's your choice. See, that's the thing. The woman before, well, not just a woman, nobody before really had a choice. They were slaves to sin, even with their best efforts. That's Romans 7. That's the guy who, with all of his human willpower, all of his mind, I agree, your law is good, I'm going to keep it, but he could not. But thank God for the born-again child of God. The truth has made you free. And it is your choice. Your choice. Where it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Who has the choice there? Is it God? When God makes me free. Now I'm the poster boy, so I'm, you know, cause I smoked for eternity in 3 days as a Christian. It's because I believed a lot of lies, part of it, big part of it. I thought somehow, how does Alan say that? I thought just praying in tongues would just slap all the evil stuff out of me and one day I'd just wake up and I wouldn't want to smoke anymore. Well, I did that for a lot of years. Lots of praying in tongues. I'm not one of those that talked about it. I'm one of those that did it. And the day still came. I had to face my body, tell it no, and my body threw a hissy fit. It was real nice for the first 30 minutes. Yes, I've seen documentaries that we ought to quit smoking. I've heard this is good for our health. This is a good idea. About 30 minutes later, you know, you really ought to taper off. You shouldn't just quit. We might go into shock or something. 30 minutes after that, you know, you ought to give me a cigarette right now, and we'll talk about this later. But 2 hours after that, I will kill you. My body's going, I will kill you dead. You'll be dead. They can only be able to find you. You'll be dead under the ground. I'll kill you. Feed me nicotine all these years and cut me off. I will kill you. The war was on. Now, God, I'll tell you, God can deliver you without a single withdrawal. Waiting for that is sin. Stop. I'm preaching to Gary. Had I known... I thank God for the voices God is raising up in this day to make it so clear what happened to us when we got born again. And had I really known this, I would have stopped smoking many years before I did. I'd have turned and faced Goliath. Many times it's your own flesh. Anyway. I want to talk about this woman that was caught in adultery, see? Because before, she was just an old sinner. She really was. So Jesus, he didn't condemn her. He took her punishment. Let's say she saw that, the stripes and the cross. And then one day she received Jesus into her heart and she becomes born again. But then after a while, the temptation returns for whatever reason. And she's tempted to commit adultery. This time when the thought comes, there's a voice on the inside she did not have before. And it says, that's not who you are. You're a child of light now. Remember Jesus said, you'll have that light of life. You've got that light of life. You're a child of light now. That's not who you... You don't commit adultery. Now, if she hears that... In other words, let's say it this way. That new nature is not excusing that action, is it? It's accusing that action. That's what it's designed to do. And for her to walk righteous and holy as who she really is, all she has to do is obey the voice. Let not sin. It's her choice whether she's going to allow adultery to reign in her mortal body or not. Let not sin reign. It is your choice. Verse 16, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey. Now who is doing the yielding? To whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Bob Dylan did a song years ago. You got to serve somebody. It might be the devil. It might be the Lord. But you've got to serve somebody. He'd get upset at hearing me trying to imitate him. But anyway, it's the truth. You are serving somebody. With every decision you make, you're either serving the new man, which is really the Lord, Christ in you, or you're serving the flesh. Say, well, I'm not strong enough. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from hell. You are strong enough. From the day you get born again, you're a child of light. You've got the life of God on the inside of you. You'll know the truth. I like how Nathan says it. If you can hear that conscience, you're already free. What? Do you hear all those amens, Nathan? If you can hear the conscience, you're already free. Because you've already got his nature on the inside. And if you can hear it, you have more than enough power to obey it. Now that's the truth. That is the pure, unvarnished truth right there. Gary walked in disobedience for years and years and years. How many are thankful for the long suffering and the mercy of God? I thank God that Dave threw us that lifeline. God will walk through hell with a person. With his strongholds, with his struggles, with his sin. As long as you don't start justifying it. And as long as you continue doing those things that will one day spell your freedom. Now, when he says spell your freedom, he's not saying the day that you'll get free. You were free from the day you got born again. You're just deceived. You're either just deceived and ignorant. There's a difference. Ignorance means you don't have knowledge. You know, the Bible keeps saying all the time, grow in the knowledge of the Lord. This is the first knowledge you need. Here's the first knowledge you need. Your conscience is a pure guide. Where are my amens? Sue, start handing out $5 for amens, okay? Your conscience is a sure guide from day one. Now, you can grow in all kinds of knowledge, you know. I'm thinking about Nathan. He didn't know he was supposed to move to Tulsa when he started praying in other tongues. That's knowledge he didn't have. His knowledge said, where Lori beeth, I ameth. That's the knowledge he started with. I'm going to be where she is. But God had knowledge he didn't have. And by praying in the Spirit, you get all kinds of knowledge. But the knowledge of being free from sin, really, you have it from day one. The nature does not grow. Your spirit man grows. The nature, again, I'm going to stay with Nathan's even though he had it wrong. He called the dog the sinner. He called the dog the righteous one. I'm sorry. And the cat the sinner, which is totally opposite of the truth. But anyway. We're having fun with that. But But the point is true. The nature of a dog, that nature is full grown. A puppy does dog things. It doesn't do cat things. Isn't that right? Now, it can grow and not. You can take that little puppy and you can train him to be a police dog. You can train him to be a CNI dog. You can train him to sit when he hears sit. You can train him to do all. He can grow in knowledge, is what I'm saying, all kinds of knowledge. But you're not going to change that nature. He's a dog. He's got the nature of a dog. When you got born again, you went from the nature of a sinner to the nature of a child of God. You have the nature of righteousness on the inside of you and a pure conscience from God above to guide you through all the affairs of life when it comes to morals and right and wrong and should I, shouldn't I. Amen? Man, I've got 3 pages of verses. We've done 2. Okay, I'm going to go a little quicker, okay? I started to leave this one out, and the Holy Spirit checked me. You don't have to turn to these. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And I started to, I said, well, that's not really, and he said, no, that is exactly right. Who is your parent in the Lord? Who is your father? Who are you supposed to obey? He put his nature on the inside of you so you'd know when and how to do it. Obey your parent in the Lord. God is your father. Obey your parent in the Lord. How do I do that? He put his nature in you. Obey it. That one surprised me a little bit. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. I want you to see this one. I'm telling you, the gospel has been so watered down that to many people, the gospel is like this. Now, I don't think so much in this church, but to many in the church world, the gospel is you're just no sinner saved by grace. So you need to receive Jesus as the sacrifice for your sins, and then you're forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven. And there's never any talk of repentance. There's never really any talk of change, even though they may mention it some. That's not really the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name Jesus says he shall save his people from their sins. It does not mean he shall save his people in their sins. Hear all those amens again? The purpose of the gospel is to set man free from sin, cause him to be born again, become a child of God, and walk as he walked, talk as he talked, have the same results he had. That's the purpose of the gospel. Hebrews chapter 5, is that where I said go? I'm going to have to go there myself. Hebrews chapter 5. We'll pick it up in verse 7. It's hard to start there, but that's where we're going to start. Who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. What's that talking about? That's the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus 3 times went into the garden and prayed, "Father, if there's any other way, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me." And he's praying to him that could save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. But though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author. Now, please pay attention. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that believe him. Is that what your Bible says? See, that is not what your Bible says. It's unto all that what? Obey him. What is the first level of obeying Christ? It is to obey the inner witness. Say it another way. It's to obey the voice of that conscience. That is the first level of bowing the knee. See, oh, I want to continue in my sin and make heaven. You're not bowing the knee. You're being contentious and you're disobeying the truth. The truth that is in you. The truth that is speaking by the voice of that new nature. You're disobeying. If you keep that up, you'll wind up like the guys in Jude who denied the Lord. And it's not that they were saying Jesus was not Lord, but they were saying grace covers lasciviousness. You can live any way you want to. They were denying his plain teachings because Jesus said, if you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. He didn't say you'll know the truth and you'll continue in your sin. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Obey has become almost a bad word in the body of Christ. I got a whole bunch of obey verses. I'm going to do it like this. You don't turn to these. We're out of time already. Romans 6:16 says, I think we quoted this one already, but know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. See, a lot of Christians are going around saying, Jesus is my Lord, but they're obeying the flesh every day. Well, you're not the servant of who you say you serve. You are the servant of who you serve. Go start the car again, baby. Whether of sin unto what? I'll make heaven if I keep sinning, right, Brother Gary? His grace covers sin, right? For a long time while you're learning, I guess. He did with me. But I'm sure glad. Sure glad I finally got it. Thank God. Sin, if you obey sin, it leads to death. Or of obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to the truth that's in you. Obedience to the new nature unto righteousness. Okay. See 2 Corinthians 10:5. You don't have to turn there. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'll tell you one of the highest ones. I'm too weak to stop sinning. That's just a plain, big, fat lie. Not if you're born again. You do have the strength. You absolutely have it. And bringing into captivity every thought to the faith of Christ. Is that what it says? It says to the obedience of Christ. How would you do that? The lady caught in adultery, after she's born again, think, maybe I should go commit adultery. There's a voice going to come right up out of her. You do not commit adultery. That's not who you are. That is not who you are. If she obeys that, it's good. She doesn't. See, she's got to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. First level of that is bring every thought to the obedience of that new man on the inside. The nature of Christ. Go to Romans chapter 1. I'm trying to finish. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of what? Holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. By whom? By Jesus, the Son of God, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Now, Paul is talking about him and the ones traveling with him. But why did God call him to be an apostle? For obedience to the faith. Notice, for obedience to the faith among all nations. Paul was called primarily to the Gentiles. And what was he called to accomplish in them? To bring them to a place of obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. What if I said obedience to the truth? See, Jude over there in Jude, was it verse 20, 21, 22, where he says, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Remember in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, you should contend for that faith which was once, and it means first, delivered to the saints. What was that faith? You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You have been made free from sin. That is the faith that was once delivered to the church. Praying in tongues. Believing that is what sets you free. Praying in tongues. Notice how it's worded. Build you up on your most holy faith. He will take you from there and build on it. But the new nature is what brought it. You got it? When you got saved, that's what brought it. From that day forward, you had the faith. I'm free. I'm free. Now the Holy Ghost will build you up on that faith. But He doesn't deliver you into it. You got that the day you were born again. That's why it's important to stay in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. He's your comforter, your guide, your friend, your helper in all of these things. But He's not the one that set you free. He's supposed to build you up on that foundation. You're free. Now let's talk about your sonship. Let's talk about your apostleship. Let's talk about your calling. Let's talk about whatever it is He's called you to do. Let's talk about empowering you. Here's how the gifts work. Here's this. Here's that. He'll build you up on your most holy faith. But the holy faith is you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now you've got to obey that. And if you're not obeying it, you're disobedient and you're in danger. Thank God for His long suffering. Thank God I'm the poster boy for this. I'm on your side. He's on your side. But we've got to know the truth. And we're coming into a revival again that the devil, if he came sniffing around Jesus looking for handles, he's going to come sniffing around you. It's time to deal with the handles. It's time to deal with it. Turn around, face your flesh like David faced Goliath. Take its head off and feed its carcass to the fowls of the air. I like how Sue says it. Flesh, you are not the boss of me. That's it. Amen? You're the boss. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. For obedience to the faith.